That was beautiful, Tabitha. Thank you very much. We've already been richly blessed this day, but I know that we're about to hear the Word of God preached. So I hope that we've come with anticipation and that desire of our heart to take these things with us. You know, the time is drawing near as we get close to the end of our reunion. And it's important that we take each and every one of the messages with us. And our brother this evening, I know, would appreciate your prayers. Not only that he may be used as a servant of the Heavenly Father, but that he might be blessed spiritually and physically. So he has some afflictions this day, and he needs our prayers. And he stands before you, willing and wanting to serve his Heavenly Father, our brother, Apostle Marvin Ely.
Thank you, Brother Brickhouse. Indeed, that was a beautiful experience to be able to watch each one of you come forward and greet our new brother. And I was singing the beautiful song, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," and for a moment I had to quit singing because my heart was touched so much when I saw the parents greet their son. It touched me deeply with such love that I was in a position to see that many of you didn't see. What a wonderful time we've had here. And we look back on the days of this past, a time of rejoicing together, a time of fellowship together. And I'm really impressed with the presentation that was put on for the youth yesterday and their desire to serve God and follow Him. We must have those who are willing to take up the task and follow Him, who are willing to make the effort, and I believe that they have that in their heart. But we've got a duty to pray for all these young people that they might be able to fulfill that desire. Because when they go from here, they will go to their schools and their other places, and they will be in other surroundings, and it will not be as easy as it was at teen camp or in the Missouri reunion. Also, we're down now to the final service of this 1996 Missouri reunion. And, of course, all the preachers, especially the one at the last service, is always wondering what will be preached in all the other services and if all of your references will be used and what is going to take place. And yet, not only there might be a concern of this, yet there is another thing that he has advantage. He can watch what each one says and see how remarkably the sermons have tied together. And I have seen that, and I'm in this place today. We live in a day of great fear. I'm going to touch a bit upon that, but I'm not going to dwell solely upon that, because of all things I don't want to leave our young without a hope, as well as the parents and grandparents. That is my desire. And I've chosen a passage of Scripture, 1 John 4:18, to read, to tie my thoughts around tonight. There is no fear in love. I want this to ring in your heart tonight and in your mind. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And yet, as I already mentioned, we live in a day that was prophesied even by our Master that men's heart would fail him for fear. And yet right here it says there is no fear in love, and perfect love casteth off all fear. And so I want us to be able to work toward perfecting our individual love. And as I think tonight, some of the things I'm going to bring out will tie in with the other sermons. I might even use a few of their scriptures, but I don't feel badly. Repetition is good. But I was rather amazed at some of the things we heard last night, the night before, the afternoon services of our responsibility. We can't waste further time, brothers and sisters. We are in a day of change, and the change is rapid. We got to stand up as we was admonished last night, and especially the fathers, but each one must stand up and be counted on the side of right and stand strong for that which is right. Because we are living in a day when we're going to see things unfold that is beyond our imagination in any way. And as Christ said, it would be a day of fear. And I want to turn to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, and it's found in verses 25 and 26, and I'll touch on a few others of some of the things that Christ prophesied of the day that is unfolding before our eyes. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. Look upon the face of the earth we live today. There is a great distress of nations. And we couldn't deny that. With perplexity. Perplexed means uncertainty. There is uncertainty. Every nation is uncertain the course they want to follow. Another meaning of perplexity is bewilderment. And I would certainly say the leaders of the world are bewildered. They don't know what to do with what they have. Our own nation, once it could make goodly decisions, is faltering in their decisions. They don't know what to do with our economy. The inflation, the gigantic debt. But yet the answer was brought out in a sermon the first evening, Friday evening. We live on a land, and we got a duty here on the face of this land to serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Or if they fail to do this, they'll be swept off when they're ripe in iniquity. But we've also got a promise that whosoever lives here shall be kept free from bondage and all other nations if they will serve that God who is Jesus Christ. So it is important that we do that. There is the way. So in all these things that are prophesied of our day, don't fear. Turn to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a way out of the dilemma that the world has found their way in. Even the United States of America, if they turned to Jesus Christ, the things would be averted as prophesied would take place. It may be highly unlikely, but never impossible. Well, let's read on here. Perplexity upon the face of the earth, the sea and the waves roaring. We have such an unrest in weather, for one thing. In about 5 years, we've had 200 or 300 500-year floods. Well, that isn't normal. And I'm amazed when you read some of these weathers, temperatures. Like one time in the Northwest, in Seattle, they had the highest temperature they'd had. And a few days later, they had the highest low that was ever recorded. The lowest high. I got it twisted around. The lowest high temperature is ever recorded for that day. Now, that is not even near normal. And all over, there's strange things. Set new record highs and new record lows all in the same summer, all in the same winter. It's prophesied. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That's the thing that Christ said would happen. But we don't have to be a victim of that. If we build upon Jesus Christ and follow Him and keep His commandments. For looking after the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, that's promised it would be. Daniel said it would be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation, even down to that very time. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody, because in this reunion we heard in sermons things that pointed the good things and the bad things. We got to bring in the things that there's going to happen upon the face of the earth to show that we got to be aware of this. And then I want to show you the alternative. We turn to God and Christ, and they can support us. It said, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes. This is in verse 10 and 11, if I've confused you. Great earthquakes in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. It also says in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But we don't have to let our love wax cold. Because perfect love casteth off all fear. So we need to work on the perfecting of our love. And I intend to bring a few references tonight that may be helpful to each one of you. And I especially want to be helpful to the young, because I have a great love and concern for them and sympathy of the day in which they live. It's different than the day in which I lived, but there was still temptation there. It's always been on the face of the earth, but it seems like there are so many ways today. But those who place their trust in the Heavenly Father and in His Son will be supported. I would like to turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And speak of a little different thing of this day. This is found in the first 5 verses of the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. And the Apostle Paul said many years ago, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. And before I read the next part, I'd like to turn to the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi, and it's found on page 154. And this verse has already been led. I want to read verse 24, because it said there will be perils in this day. Now, we read of some other perils, the things that are happening upon the earth, in the weather, from this sun and the stars above to the earth beneath and all these things. But this is different. For behold, at that day, that perilous day, he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Now, is not that being fulfilled before our very eyes? It is happening. Well, let's read on over here a little bit now in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that is taking place when people are admonished that you're the number one person, see. But really, what happened to the scriptures or the saying, prefer your brother above yourself? You love your brother as yourself. You aren't the greatest. Covetous, boasters, and proud, and great nations fell upon the American continents because of pride. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, And that is happening today, wherein many are disobedient to their parents, unthankful and unholy. And you know, we've been admonished when we receive to thank God for what we receive. When we lay down at night, we ask Him to watch over us. When we rise in the morning, we thank Him because He did it. We each have received richly, and we heard testimonies of those who thank God for what they have received. We must become a very prayerful people before Him and quick to offer thanks. Unholy will be a time in which we live without natural affection. And this has been touched in some of the other sermons. Men with men and women with women doing that which is unseemly and improper and wrong. Incontinent, false accusers, truth breakers, I skipped a little there, despisers of those that are good, and traitors, and heady, which is violent. And we're reminded of another scripture of Jesus Christ, wherein He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And then they said they'd be marrying and given in marriage, and you heard this addressed in one sermon. But another thing that happened in the days of Noah was it was days of great violence upon the face of the earth. And that's why God chose to cause the flood. And He says, as it was then, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And right here, that's one of the perils of the last day. It says, heady, which is violent, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So we must be careful how we use our time. Pleasure is fine, but it must not be put above God. It must not be number one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'd like to turn to the 34th Psalm. And we have just spoken a bit about fear. But I want to show you how one of old David handled this thing called fear. The 34th Psalm and the 4th verse. Listen, you young people, you mothers, you fathers, you grandparents. David said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, is the way there or is it not? He can deliver us from all our fears. Going down to verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. We have already heard in sermons to work on your personal righteousness. Do you remember? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them all out of all their troubles. And it didn't say you wasn't going to have any troubles now, incidentally. Troubles. And I like what Alma told his son, I believe it was Helaman, and he says, I do know in this, if you want the reference, it's Alma 17:3, but I'm going to turn to it. He says, I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and in their troubles and in their afflictions and shall be lifted up at the last day. And he says, I don't know this of the temporal, but I know it of the spiritual. I don't know this of the carnal, but I know it of God. That's the way he knew it. I like the way he did this. And then he went on over in this same chapter and says, I have been supported in trials and troubles of every kind. I've been delivered from prison and from bonds. And I know that He will still support me, and I'll still put my trust in God. And I like that kind of a testimony. He had a positive testimony of what God could do for him. Now let's go on here in verse 18 of Psalms 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It didn't say it was all going to be without any problems. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So there it is. It's so plain. The scriptures are here. And I want to back up to this one verse here. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And that contrite there means humble. Save us such as be of a humble spirit. And we know one of the synonyms of humble is meekness. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I can't say I have a favorite, but I got so many it's hard for me to elaborate on one. But so many of you heard me use this, you're going to hear it again tonight, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it's an invitation to all us with problems. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus also says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to analyze that a little bit. The invitation is there. You got a problem. You got a need. Jesus says, come unto me. That's what he said. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. You know what that means? And I've explained this before, and I'm going to explain it again the way I see it. It's like in days of old, you put a yoke or a piece of wood on the neck of two oxen. Why? So they pull the same way. You know, it'd be strange if you harnessed two oxen or horses or something and they went this way and this way. It don't work so hot. Well, anyway, they both went the same way. And when you take the yoke of Christ upon you, what are you doing? You're walking the way He walked. And I want to outline things that will help us to walk the way Christ walked. He set a perfect example. He came down here to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And He gave us commandments of the Heavenly Father, and He in turn left commandments of His for us to follow. And I want to touch upon some of them tonight. And then He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus Christ also said, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's a charge to each one of us. And I feel a lot of times I've wasted too much time. I need to search the scriptures more. Maybe we all do. And he also said, if you learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He wants us to be meek and lowly in heart. And he says, and you shall find rest for your soul. Now, do you really want to find rest in your turmoil and your trials and your problems? There is the way right there outlined. I'm talking somewhat about the importance of being founded upon Jesus Christ. And I want to turn to the second chapter of the book of Helaman. Is found on page 557, and give what I feel are two very important verses. Verses 74 and 75. And now, my sons, remember, that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. So if you're going to stand in the days ahead and the trials that are promised that most certainly will take place, it is because you have heeded this scripture and built your foundation upon Jesus Christ. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, his shafts in the whirlwind, and he will send forth his mighty winds, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you. I talked and just read about a day when he would rage in the hearts of the children of men against that which is good. But if you're built upon the rock of your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, you will not have to worry. I'm going to reread part of that 75th. Yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery. And that isn't the night's place to be. An endless woe. You heard about that by some of your other servants during this reunion. Because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. So if you're built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, you do not have to worry. Now it's important that we trust in his words. And the words of Christ are easy for those who love the truth, but are hard against those who do not. And I have another scripture in 2 Nephi 6, found on page 110, that I'd like to touch upon. And it starts with verse 73. And remember this, it ties in with the one I just read. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticing of the cunning one. It is not a fun thing. And yet there can be joy and happiness and partaking of the fruit of the tree of life. Remember, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life eternal. Why would we be here if we didn't have a hope beyond this life? There is hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto eternal life. That is the hope. O my beloved brethren, verse 75, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ. Do not say I've spoken hard things against you, for if you do, you will revile against the truth. For I've only spoken the words of your Maker. And that's what I am attempting to do tonight, to speak the words of our Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. Did you hear that? All you young, did you hear that? The words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. For if you do, ye shall revile against the truth, for I have only spoken the words of your Maker. And I know the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. So these words of truth that are hard against all uncleanness, the righteous fear them not, and they're not shaken. Oh then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. And we've heard that drilled in by most of the sermons of this reunion. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there to walk the straight and narrow path. And we know along that straight and narrow path, there is a rod of iron according to Lehi's vision, which is a representation of the Word of God. And if we cling to the Word of God, it will lead us to the tree of life. And as Lehi partook of it, It filled his soul with joy. It was a happy occasion. The gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way save it is by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And it says there's no other way except by the gate. And this afternoon you already seen a young man enter in by the gate. And Brother Jay read from 2 Nephi 13 on page 162. And I'm going to touch a bit further and enlarge a little more of responsibility after entering in by the gate, which is repentance and baptism, and then come a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost, and that you've entered in by the way and received the Holy Ghost. It says you are in the straight and narrow path. And then the question is asked, is all done? Is all you got to do now? You've went in by the way that you've been commanded. And the answer was nay or no. And then, in verse 29, behold, I say unto you, or verse 28, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Now, did you hear that? That's a responsibility of every one of us who have entered the waters of baptism, to press forward with a steadfastness in Jesus Christ. We're built upon the rock of our Redeemer. Let's stay upon the rock of our Redeemer. Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And it says you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. So it is outlined so clearly for us this day. Verse 4 in the next chapter. Wherefore I say unto you, this is a duty of each one of us, to feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not. Neither do you knock. Wherefore, you are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. So we see the words of Jesus Christ are vital in each of our individual lives. And I just want to read a few from what we commonly call a Sermon on the Mount, but I've chosen to do it from 3 Nephi, because not only did Christ in Jerusalem go upon a mount and preach to his disciples, and we commonly call it the Sermon on the Mount, various important commandments for each one of us to follow. And when he came to this continent, the American continent, he also spoke to the multitude the things that they should do. Similar words that he spoke to the people there. And I want to read a few of them today from 3 Nephi 5 on page 635. Starting with verse 50. Yea, and listen to these beautiful verses. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit who come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I believe the poor in spirit really means lowly in spirit. And we like a lot of times define poor as one who is lacking, you know, in certain things. But this certainly isn't somebody that's lacking in the spirit. Now, I'll assure you that. And I really think it's those who are lowly and a humble type people who come unto him, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this wonderful 51st verse, And blessed are all they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I want to show you the beauties and what we can have in following Jesus Christ and keeping His commandments. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There is a psalm that is along a similar trend to that. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we saw the laying on of hands this day for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, are we merciful to others about us? If we expect mercy from our Heavenly Father, we God in turn be merciful to others. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there is a scripture in the psalm, and I'm not going to turn to it because one of the other speakers touched upon this. He read from the 24th Psalm and told certain things. He says, those with pure in heart, he says, who are those? Those with clean hands and pure hearts. Those are the ones that come to Jesus Christ. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I would just like to turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And I want to start with verse 1. And I like different ones of Paul's teaching to the Roman people because they're rather forceful. And so listen to this closely. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now that's what I wanted to bring out tonight. We must be built upon the rock of our Redeemer. And it says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there is a charge to not walk after the flesh. And ever about us there is the lust of the flesh, trying to pull down each and every one of us here. And even the things we see on TV and magazines, newspapers, there's always the lust of the flesh displayed in manners that are enticing, very enticing to the carnal man. Very enticing. That's why we got to put off the carnal. We must put on the spiritual. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He did that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And we spoke about righteousness already. Others spoke about righteousness. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we got a charge to walk after the Spirit. Every one of us. And shortly we're going to go back into the world in which we live. We've already had brought out here by some of the testimonies of our example. Don't be fearful to tell people how you believe. Don't be fearful of being made fun of because you took a certain stand on something, you know. Because people at work, our brother here told this morning how people at work knew what he believed. And the last few years that I worked, or a number of years, people knew that I was a preacher. And I remember one construction job, and they all knew it. And you know the strange thing? They respected me. And here was this one fellow here. My boss was a hunter, and the other guy was a player at nightclubs. He's also a carpenter. And he says, now we got quite a combination here. We got a hunter, we got a person that plays at nightclubs, and we got a preacher. Well, I'd say that's quite a combination, all right. But yet they still respected me. And like I say, I don't care if they do make fun of me. And I always liked that what Brother Robertson said one time. Some person said to him, what if I just call you a dirty so-and-so? And Brother Robertson just looked at him. He says, I wouldn't believe it. So I kind of liked his statement, you know. You don't have to believe it if they say all kinds of things about you. Well, let's read on here. Verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Now, death is final. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And didn't Jesus Christ say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul, and that includes peace? The way is there. It isn't too difficult to put it in action if we will just apply it to our individual lives. I'd like to turn to the 14th chapter of the book of John. And I'm not going to read too much from this, but from verses 21 and 23. And I like the way Jesus Christ, he put the responsibility upon every one of you here, upon every person who ever lives upon the face of the earth. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, there's a lot of people say, I love Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ said right here is those that really love him. Now, these aren't words I made up while I was sleeping this morning. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, now that is an important verse to each one of us. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's plain and simple. If you love me, he said, keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It didn't mean it necessarily to come right down here in person, but their influence can be with you to direct you. And you can even have a beautiful countenance with the influence of Jesus Christ and God upon you. You can radiate the goodness of them. People can see something different about you. And that's what is important. I want to go up to verse 1 in the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. He spoke to a people a long time ago. And if he's speaking today, certainly he would enhance it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And before I read the next two verses, I'm going to skip down to the 27th verse. Jesus Christ said, what did he leave with people? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Perfect love casteth off all fear. He didn't want us to be fearful. And we get scared. I've been scared, sure. But again, we can put away fear. What a beautiful thing that will be. And we're living in a time when there is fear. People have to lock their houses at night, and some people live in great fear. And I think one time, a lot of years ago, while I still worked at carpentry, and I happened to be in Aspen, Colorado, working on a bank. And here was a person with lots of money, and he built that bank and had a nice, luscious apartment on top. And you entered it through a stairway on the bottom, and I want to show you where his trust must have been. You had a lock on the door, which I'd have had one too. And you went up to the door to his living room. There's a lock on the door. And you went to his bedroom, and we had a deadbolt on the bedroom too. So he really lived in fear. He had great funds, great riches, but he lived in fear. And so What a sad thing that was. I felt kind of sorry for this person. He wasn't enjoying the fullness of life. Verse 2 in the 14th chapter. Another hope, and I love this hope. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He did that for us. Don't disappoint him. The place is prepared. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that's the hope of people who believe in Christ, is that he will come again one day. And he will be during that millennium reign and reign with his people and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in the sixth verse, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a forceful verse. So if we really want to enter in, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he made it plain. And if we really want to come to the Father, it is by Jesus Christ. Well, I have a closing scripture. You might have thought it wouldn't come, but it does. I closed that book with the page rather crumpled, so. And this is found in the book of Ether, the fifth chapter, on page 748. And it's kind of a repeat of some that I've read. And some of this is even earlier sermons that I preached, so I hope you don't tire of it. Verse 28. And I wanted to leave these thoughts with you and the other thoughts as connected with it. I give unto men weakness. So even though you're strong men, don't kid yourself. Jesus Christ gave unto you weakness. Why? That you may be humble. So if we weren't weak, we would be pretty cocky and conceited. Now you've got to admit that this would be what would happen. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. What a promise. He will make weak things become strong unto them. And I really like this next verse. It's talking to us, the Gentile peoples of this United States of America and other Gentiles. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And that charity is none other than the pure love of Jesus Christ. Perfect love casteth off all fear. See how all this ties together. I am really amazed at how the scriptures tie together. And I'm amazed how all the services of the reunion tied together. I'm going to skip on down to verse 32. And he spoke to a people who knew him. And he says, after they had faith and did speak in thy name, Moroni is talking about, like he's talking to Christ here, thou didst shew thyself unto them in great power. So Jesus Christ, after his disciples of old had faith, he showed himself unto them in great power. And he can show himself unto you in far greater power if you will increase in your faith and grow in your faith. And without faith, we read in the book of Hebrews, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I also remember, Moroni said, that thou said that thou hast prepared a house for man. I just read about it in John 14, the first three verses. Yea, even among the mansions of the Father, in which man might have a more excellent hope. Wherefore man must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. We must not let our hope be dimmed. We must grow in our faith, because you can't have hope without faith, and you can't have faith without hope, and you can't have faith and hope without charity. They go together. They are the fountain of all righteousness. It is the way. And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even to the laying down of thy life for the world. And Jesus Christ did lay down his life for the world, that thou mightest take it again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast for the children of men is charity. That's why it is defined as the pure love of Christ. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. So we see how all this ties together. Perfect love casteth off all fear. I have a little testimony to leave with you. I would be amiss if I didn't thank my God and his Son, Jesus Christ. I've listened to all these beautiful sermons through reunion, and I got up this morning and sat on the edge of my bed, and I sat there 15 minutes before I could even get up. I was unstable, sick. And of course, I have a vertical inner ear balance problem that I have to live with, and it's probably part of my problems, but I felt really poorly. And I've learned if I sit there and don't pull any heroic deeds or anything, well, I usually stabilize. I sought administration, and I will say, with the help of God, I was able to deliver this sermon this night. So the praise is to God, and not any capabilities that I may have.
Thank you, Brother Ely. And we thank the Lord for that blessing. Well, here we are at the end of the reunion. It's always a sad time. You know, it's a little bit like had one of those sad times about an hour and a half ago as I said goodbye to my daughter who was going away to school. And I feel like that right now, saying goodbye to you. And I'm going to tell her the same thing I told her. We love you. We're pleased with you. Remember prayer for direction in your life. And give us a call once in a while. I'd like us to thank all those that the women in the kitchen committee and all their hard work and that good food, and those that worked on the cleaning crew to help clean up the church. We thank you, and for all those that pitched in generally. I hope we can take this sweet spirit that's been here with us as we go to our various places and to our schools. A lot of the kids in Phoenix, they all start school tomorrow, don't you? So let's remember our youth in our prayers. Let's remember them. They need our prayers, and they'll be praying for us. And our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, let's remember them, because they remember us. We're going to have a minister's conference this week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I hope you all remember your ministry as they meet together here in this room and discussing affairs of the church. I hope that you'll remember us in your prayers. Wednesday evening, we're going to have a combined prayer service here at the temple lot, and I assume the local ministry will take care of that. Okay. And at 7 o'clock. And so the East Local is going to meet here, and the temple out.